line. Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Tennessee. Superbook is the number one sportsbook in Las Vegas. Mike Vrabel just took to the podium and officially named Josh Dobbs the starter on Saturday against the Jags in what I'm calling an AFC South championship. And joining us now to break it down is Teron Davenport. TD, your thoughts on Vrabel naming Josh Dobbs the starting quarterback on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's a surprise that he did it so early. I mean, he said that he talked to both guys and he wanted to, you know, do that first. But a lot of times you see coaches kind of keep it under the vest, but he came out with it immediately. And it's something that we pretty much knew was going to happen. The fact of the matter is the offense is more efficient with Josh Dobbs out there. He's decisive, as Mike Vrabel said. You know, he's working through his progressions, and it just, you know, the passing game is better with Dobbs right now.
And I'm with you. TD is with us. That Josh Dobbs can just do what Malik can't right now, extend plays with his arm, you utilize in the passing game. He can just do things that Malik can't at this point. But I also think there's another element of it, too, that I just saw that Titans team looked so energized and looked so motivated against the Cowboys. And I have to think that that might just be the Josh Dobbs effect.
Yeah, I think it's more just efficiency on offense. I think that's really what it was. You know, Malik Willis is capable of extending plays and doing things, but it's just the play calling seemed to be a little more in rhythm, I guess, and that does have to do with Dobbs going through those progressions and being decisive, getting the ball out and doing those things, and then also being able to push the ball down the field a little bit. You look at the throw to Racy McMath, you know, that's a solid throw, right? And you look at the throw, getting into his drop, hitching, and letting that thing rip on the hash to sideline throw to Robert Woods on third and eight, and it was a 9-yard gain. I mean, that's a big-time throw. So I think there was some, you know, extra, I don't want to say motivation, but there was some extra oomph with them, you know, because the offense itself was in somewhat of a rhythm. I mean, they only scored 13 points, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right, TD. We look at this offense last week against Dallas, and it's almost as if we've been so desperate for. It's like somebody that hadn't had water in days. They're so desperate for water. The smallest drop is like an ocean to them. Yeah. And that's the same way we feel about the Titans offense. It's like we have been so wanting this offense to look like an NFL offense, to be consistent, that what we saw last week, was it perfect? No, but it looked more like what an offense should look like moving forward. And I think not only that, I think he gives the defense some confidence now that they believe when they go on the sideline that they have an opportunity to rest. Whereas with Malik Willis, for whatever reason, they went off the field and it seemed like a minute later they were back on.
Yeah, and you know what? That goes beyond just Malik. I mean, before that Thursday game, they had 54 three and outs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. More than any other team in the NFL. I didn't track how many they had against Dallas, but that's more than just Malik, right? So I can see what you're saying. It's definitely right. I just love the defense's mindset, though. They're just like, man, put the ball down wherever, and I don't care where it is. We got to stop them from scoring, and that's what we're going to do. I like that, but, I mean, it's complimentary, and you're not exactly getting full complimentary football, unfortunately, you know, with how the offense has sputtered with Willis as the quarterback, and at times with Tannehill as well.
Now, do you really believe what, you know, what Vrabel is saying? It's just another game. It's just another game. They're preaching it. I understand why he's preaching it to him, but, you know, as a guy that has been in situations like that, it's not just another game, because another game is, listen, we go out, win or lose, we got another week to play. You know, last week was just another game because they didn't have to win it. So he set his start. He set some guys that needed to rest. This week, it's much different to me than just another game.
Absolutely. It is not just another game. This is a game that gives you an opportunity to keep playing. And I think Vrabel touched on it slightly when Jared asked him about the importance of making it to the playoffs. Look, you got to get to the dance. You know what I mean? And you're not going to get to the dance if you lose this game because you've lost six straight already. So I think it's absolutely more than just another game.
Now, did he touch on, because I don't think we, well, I didn't hear it at least. He talked a little briefly about David Long Jr. He didn't give quite a yes or a no. But Fulton is another guy with that hamstring. He tried to give it a go a few weeks ago. He ended up, you know, giving it a go and ended up leaving the game, didn't play this past game. Is there any, what's the latest news on him?
Yeah, Vrabel did say he expects Christian Fulton to practice this week. That will definitely help them. I think when you look at Christian, he's been dealing with that hamstring all year. And then it blossomed into a groin. He told me that the groin was kind of, he was trying to overcompensate for the hamstring. It happened on the A.J. Brown, you know, touchdown where it kind of ran through him. He's going to practice this week, though, so that's a good thing. Hopefully for his sake he'll be able to play, so he's not ending the year, you know, ending the regular season at least with a streak of inactives.
Tron Davenport is with us. TD, do you think Vrabel still believes in Malik Willis?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he believes that Willis could be a good quarterback, but just the inefficiency. And he made a really good point, and it resonated with me because he talked about Willis as a guy who is continuing to develop, but then he pointed out how over the last 4 to 6 weeks, they've been at a walkthrough pace in practice. So the speed of the game is something that he's not getting to see consistently, and that's kind of hurt his development. You know, it hasn't given him an opportunity to, you know, get caught up and have the game slow down. And Vrabel pointed to that. So I think when you get up there and you start to, you know, give reasons and explain, you know, how a guy's development has been hindered because of situations, I think that does mean that you still believe in him.
Now, what are some things you've seen, you know, in that brief start, wasn't a start last week versus Dallas? What are some things you've seen that you like from Dobbs, and what are some things you've seen that you believe needs to get better because Jacksonville is seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mentioned that hash to sideline throw. I remember watching that. And I double-checked again. I was like, wait a minute, that was opposite hash, right? And like, I went back and watched it again real quick just to make sure. That throw really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. I thought that the throw to Treylon Burks late in the first half, the one where he tight-roped the sideline, I thought that was a good throw. The Racy McMath one, you know, was a decent throw. So he made some good throws there. I like the way he just seemed to know exactly where he wanted to go with the football. The touchdown to Robert Woods, he gave that thing time to clear out. Very nice play design by Todd Downing. He gave it time to clear out, and Woods, you know, ran his route, and he was able to sit right there, and Dobbs hit him. And I think those are the things, right, knowing where you want to go with the football. That's very important, and just keeping things on schedule. And that's what he did. Now, as far as some areas for improvement, I think, you know, one of the biggest ones was, the sacks that he took, right? And then also trying to force that one throw to Robert Woods late in the fourth quarter, you know, that was an interception. Those are some things. And he admitted that he could have been, he should have thrown it away the one time where he was scrambling to his left, and he probably shouldn't have forced that throw. So those would be the areas for improvement. But, I mean, he definitely put enough to build upon.
TD is with us, Tron Davenport, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, I view this game, and if the Titans win this game, the subsequent playoff games, as Josh Dobbs' audition for future jobs. Do you think that a future job for Josh Dobbs could potentially be the backup quarterback for the Titans next season?
Yeah, I mean, it could be the backup quarterback for the Titans next season. I know, you know, Peter King had his thing where he thinks they're going to move on from Tannehill. I'm not so sure about that. I think if Vrabel has some say in that, I don't know that that will happen because Vrabel is very, very high on Ryan Tannehill. So we'll see. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, there could be a situation where Dobbs is back as the backup. It really is going to depend on what we see. So absolutely.
Last one for you, TD. How big is it for Josh Dobbs playing in this offense now that 1 week removed from the Cowboys game, getting Derrick Henry back, just the time that he'll have and the rest that his offensive weapons will have going into this game against the Jags?
Yeah, I think it's really big for him. And, I mean, the guy's been in the league 6 years, and he just got his first start. And then now you get to build on that. That's the thing that's really huge, in my opinion, is he gets to build on that. He finally got a game where he put tape out, and now regular season, he and the coach, Pat O'Hara, you know, they could go back and look at it. Okay, this is what you did well. This is what you didn't. This is where we need to get better. This is what I want you to do in this situation. So it's another week for him to use that literal rocket scientist of a brain that he has to process, you know, how everything went. So it's huge for him. And then when you look at, you know, Derrick Henry being in the mix, that's going to be a big-time thing for them. Obviously, you know, coming from Yulee, Florida, he's going back home, and it'll be a big game for Derrick, and he'll want to get, you know, all the opportunities to put the Jaguars away. And Jacksonville knows that, so guess what? They'll be focused on stopping that, and that should open up opportunities for Dobbs, who has good mobility, right? You could use him to boot him and play action and those type of things. That should allow for, you know, a good play-action opportunity. So it's huge for him.
Teron Davenport, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, we appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure. And congratulations on the show. It's rolling. I'm listening, and keep it going.
Thanks, TD. We're excited to have you on every week.
All right.
All right, thanks, TD, again. Teron Davenport, he is the best, and he will join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, normally every Monday at 11 a.m. with the press conferences. He got pushed back a little bit later. But TD hit on something with Josh Dobbs and Malik Willis. So from the outside looking in, it might seem like a little obscure glimmer of hope for the Titans, but I think it's a glimmer of hope nonetheless. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Yeah, I think it's a surprise that he did it so early. I mean, he said that he talked to both guys and he wanted to, you know, do that first. But a lot of times you see coaches kind of keep it under the vest, but he came out with it immediately. And it's something that we pretty much knew was going to happen. The fact of the matter is the offense is more efficient with Josh Dobbs out there. He's decisive, as Mike Vrabel said. You know, he's working through his progressions, and it just, you know, the passing game is better with Dobbs right now.
There you go. We just had TD on the show breaking down Mike Vrabel's announcement to start Josh Dobbs on Saturday against the Jags. And look, I think we all feel the same way, that Josh Dobbs gives this team a better chance to beat Jacksonville because he's more effective in the passing game. He brings more of a passing threat. He's more decisive with the football. He can read defenses better than Malik Willis can. So he gives this team the best chance to win. And it feels kind of silly, probably, if you are from any other city in the country, mm-hmm. hearing us talk about how this quarterback that the Titans picked up off the street, who hadn't had a single NFL start, who had a total of 45 passing yards going into this game against the Cowboys, that this quarterback that has very, very, very limited NFL experience in his 6 years in the league, NFL experience meaning actual playing experience, mm-hmm. in his 6 years in the league, that a player like this could give the Titans so much better of an opportunity to win. And that you might be looking on the outside looking in and saying, how can this quarterback, who might be, you know, amongst the 100 top quarterbacks in the league, you know, not a starting quarterback in the league, not even a legitimate backup in the league, or didn't have a legitimate backup spot starting or backup spot in the league, how this quarterback could somehow revive the Tennessee Titans? And there are probably so many people on the outside looking in, looking at Josh Dobbs' body of work and thinking the Jags on a 4-game winning streak with Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback, that this is going to be an easy win for the Jags. But I think that the Josh Dobbs effect is that this won't be. At least I don't think that this is going to be an easy game for the Jags to win. And I'll make my official predictions later on in the week going to the Jags game, but I don't think that this is so outrageous to say that the Titans have a path to victory with Josh Dobbs under center. And I think that this is the kind of game that Mike Vrabel thrives in. The kind of games that we all think makes Mike Vrabel such a great coach is because he can win you games when you really have no business winning them. Not that I think the Titans don't have any business winning them, but I think that that's the perception, at least on the outside looking into the Titans program right now, is, you know, you got a quarterback that you picked up off the streets who's been in this program for, what, 2 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know the offense, has very, very limited starting experience. Yet that's the kind of environment that Mike Vrabel thrives in. And I think that Brock Purdy is probably the most obvious example of this. Of Brock Purdy was the last player taken in the draft. He hadn't taken a single snap in the league. He was the third string quarterback buried on a pretty loaded quarterback room in San Francisco with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. And now Brock Purdy's gone out there and looks pretty stellar for the 49ers. And he's gone out there and has been able to win games for the 49ers, win them handedly. I mean, I picked the Bucs to beat the 49ers a couple weeks ago because I thought, no way, if you give me Tom Brady versus some sort of barely drafted rookie, give me Tom Brady. And Brock Purdy proved me wrong. I think that's the most obvious example of there can be a quarterback that has very limited experience. There can be a quarterback that you think gives this team very, very little opportunity to win. But that's the kind of game that Mike Vrabel thrives in. And I think that's the Josh Dobbs effect, too.
Yeah, it's in regards to Purdy, I didn't pay attention to him in college, didn't know who he was. Obviously, I didn't know who he was when the 49ers drafted him. I'm not a 49ers fan. I don't follow the San Francisco 49ers in that capacity. But I know that they have Kyle Shanahan, who is one of the brightest and best young minds in football, and Brian Griese, who has played in the National Football League as his quarterback's coach. So I can assume that he's being taught well in that organization based
There's
upon those two.
There's absolutely an element of that.
So him coming in, it's and then the offenses are different. So him coming in and doing well, and that team has a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball as well as the defensive side of the ball. But it's just totally a different situation. Now, you know, you get over here to Joshua Dobbs. I think playing in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization helped him out a lot.
Yeah.
Going then to the Detroit Lions and being on a practice squad and learning that offense and everything else. So it allowed him to not just be a part of one offensive scheme, but then also being a part of another, and then now coming here to Tennessee. So he's able to, you know, digest the playbook very quickly. So he's in a situation, I think, now where, you know, he's in a no lose situation, I think Joshua Dobbs is, because no one expects much of him anyway, because he's been sort of a journeyman in a sense. He's never really had a start until last week. So, you know, people are not, you know, when they picked up Joshua Dobbs, people weren't like, oh, my goodness, they got Josh Dobbs now. They're about to do it. No, it was like, okay, if he plays. Now, I don't think many people thought he would play, considering, you know, the circumstances. But he came in, he did well. And I think he will, you know, try to build on that. Does he give the Titans a better opportunity at winning this game? Yes, he does, because he has the experience. He does. The game has slowed down for him, whereas it hadn't slowed down for Malik Willis. And Malik has a lot of stuff to worry about and to work on. But I think Dobbs, he gives the Titans a better opportunity, a much better opportunity. Now they need to help Dobbs out. The team, the offensive coordinator, need to be more consistent in calling plays. Needs to call plays. And I heard this when I was driving in on Rex Road, and I forgot who they had on. I think they may have been playing a clip. And I forgot who it was. But he said, the Titans, he looked at the Titans from this standpoint. a lot of times they were, and I think you did say this, Caroline, too. Sometimes they were calling plays, sometimes just to check a box, it seemed like they were just calling plays.
Like and Todd Downing said, yeah. we have to, Derrick Henry has to take a snap out of Wildcat.
Exactly.
So let's just do that because it's on my list of things that I have to do.
Instead of calling plays based on your talent, you know, looking at your talent and looking at how, you know, how this roster at this particular time isn't good. So basing my offense around the guys that I have, not taking my offense and say, listen, y'all better figure it out on y'all own how to fit in my offense. No, tailoring your offense to the guys that you have now. He's going to have to do that a lot this week. Cater your offense to Joshua Dobbs and his ability to run it. Don't try to do the same things that you were doing with Malik Willis or Ryan Tannehill. Look at Joshua Dobbs. Look at the things he can do, the things he's shown you, and work your offense based upon that. Work it based upon knowing you're going to have Derrick Henry in the backfield. Design plays knowing that now you have a healthy Treylon Burks and Racy McMath has shown you something. So run your offense and call your plays based on that. Not just, okay, this is my offense and I'm calling it no matter what. Call your offense based on the personnel that you have. And it will work out a lot better. And I'm sure I'm not telling him anything that he doesn't know. But you're going to have to really do it this week with a new quarterback, well, getting his second start. But now everybody's back healthy.
And how much can you really adjust your offense in a couple of weeks?
It's not really adjusting it. It's just...
just play calling?
It's just calling plays geared more toward those specific guys. Mm-hmm. You know, if... I know Racy McMath is a deep threat guy. Well, I'm going to run him on, you know, some deep routes and some deep intermediate routes. I'm not going to sit there and try to run, you know, reverses with him and quick slants and all this other stuff. He's a home run hitter. So design plays where I can get him open down the field. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks, he can do just about anything. So you can line him up anywhere. But where is he most beneficial for you? Catch and run. Well, give him the ball very quickly and let him do the work after that. Okay, Derrick Henry, you know how he runs out of the backfield. Okay, run him. But where else is he effective? In the screen plays. Run screen plays. Give him a little damp out. Don't try to run any routes with him. And I think Vrabel alluded to that a few weeks ago. Like, listen, there's a reason why we take him out. We can't just run him on any route because he's not that type of running back. We got specific routes that we run him on. So you got to gear your offense to the guys that you have playing now. Not to say that you got to change it, because you don't. But call the plays within your offense that suit those particular guys.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Vrabel names Josh Dobbs the starting quarterback on Saturday. What will that offense look like with Josh Dobbs under center? We'll get into that. Plus your phone calls, 615-737-1025. And since it's the first day of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, we want to give something away to the people. So be caller 3 now to win a pair of tickets to see Alter Bridge at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, January 30th, 1025-1063 The Game.
Absolutely. It is not just another game. This is a game that gives you an opportunity to keep playing. And I think Vrabel touched on it slightly when Jared asked him about the importance of making it to the playoffs. Look, you got to get to the dance. You know what I mean? And you're not going to get to the dance if you lose this game because you've lost six straight already. So I think it's absolutely more than just another game.
There you go. That was Teron Davenport. Mike Vrabel took the podium earlier and said, hey, this is just another game. We need to approach it like that. I don't buy it, D-Mace. You don't buy it. TD doesn't buy it. They can say that to us all they want. I'm sure that whatever Titans players we see this week at media availability will say we're approaching it just like any other game. I don't think on the inside they're saying that at all because this is not just another game. This is essentially a playoff game. You win this game, and your opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl, as you know, ridiculous that may sound, your opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl is still alive. You lose this game and you're done. Your season's over. Go have fun in Cabo. But while this game, the stakes and the consequences and the opportunity to continue to play is different than any other game this year, I think the way that the Titans should approach this game with Josh Dobbs, again, Mike Vrabel named Josh Dobbs as starting quarterback against Jacksonville earlier today. I think the way that the Titans should approach this game with Josh Dobbs is the same way that they've approached most games on their schedule, is run the football, take care of the football, play stout defense. So look at this Titans-Jacksonville game earlier this season, and I know Jacksonville won 36-22. It was a difference of 2 touchdowns. Well, Jacksonville scored 17 points off of Titans turnovers alone. Tennessee doesn't turn the ball over. The Titans win that game. And this game is a whole lot less interesting, at least in terms of the playoff picture. So even though Josh Dobbs is going to be under center, I think the Titans should ask him to do exactly what they would ask Ryan Tannehill to do. Because I think Josh Dobbs can do it. And no, I don't think that Josh Dobbs is as good of a quarterback as Ryan Tannehill. I don't view Josh Dobbs and Ryan Tannehill on the same level in terms of quarterback ability. But all the Titans ask Ryan Tannehill to do, you know, throw the ball effectively, take care of the football. And I mean, a Ryan Tannehill picture-perfect game, I can only assume within the Titans' eyes, is 200 to 250 yards passing, a touchdown or two, zero turnovers. That's the picture-perfect Ryan Tannehill game. I think Josh Dobbs is capable of doing that. So while the consequences are different, I think the approach really should be the same. Take care of the football, move the ball effectively, run it with Derrick Henry, commit to the run, which is something also that they didn't do against the Jags. Derrick Henry was running it great in the first half. Almost 100 rushing yards in the first quarter. They abandoned the run, and Derrick Henry didn't take care of the football. You commit to those two things, taking care of the football, committing to the run, and I think the Titans have a clear path to victory.
Yeah, that's you know, if you don't have those turnovers or you capitalize on your opportunities, that's football. And, you know, we always say going to the game, listen, if we don't beat ourselves, if it's like if we're a little bit better, or if it's like closely contested, if we don't do anything that hurt ourselves, we don't turn the ball over, we don't get, you know, pre-snap penalties or post-snap penalties, if we do the things that we are supposed to do as a team, then, you know, we have a better shot at winning the game. But knowing that, all of this stuff is a part of the game. Turnovers, penalties, you know, bad calls, they're all a part of a football game. You just try to minimize more, not have them at a, you know, at those inopportune times where you're going in to score and you turn the ball over. So that takes points. They did that. Derrick Henry fumble. He gets a long run. He fumbles on the sideline. Boom. Now it's the Jaguars' fire. Or you don't get an interception when Jaguars right before half, it goes through your hands and it goes into the hands of Zay Jones and he scores. That helps, you know, further Jacksonville's lead. But those things happen in the game. I think as a team, you know, yes, you don't want to turn the ball over, but if you do, then what do we do after that? You know, that's going to determine whether we win or lose. When we have a turnover, what do we do as a defense? Do we stop them and get a three and out? Okay, fine. Then the turnover really didn't mean as much because we stopped them, and now we got an opportunity, you know, to go down and score. If we, you know, fumble the football or throw an interception, do we get an interception? You know, do we get a fumble? Do we get a takeaway? So, yes, we can say those were the reasons why the Titans lost, was the turnovers. But, you know, we could say that every week. You know, the Titans won because they got turnovers. You know, maybe they shouldn't have beat that team, but they got two turnovers and they end up beating that team. I think what it boils down to is, you know, going out there and orchestrating your offense the way you believe it needs to be ran, and running your defense the way you have ran it pretty much all season, because you've been stout when you've been healthy on defense. All from an offensive standpoint, you've been inconsistent. You need to be consistent this football. If you're not consistent in any other time, you need to be consistent this football game. Consistent meaning good, not consistently bad. If they do those things, then they have a better shot at winning. But if they turn the ball over, and I don't care who you are, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, if you turn the football over more than once, your chances of winning that game goes down tremendously. So the Titans can't turn it over. But if they don't turn it over, they still got to score a point. Because they can go to they can go through the game without turning the ball over, either team. But you got to score points in the process. And the Titans hadn't been able to score points in the last 6 weeks. So that needs to change more than anything. Yes, they don't need to turn the football over. But when you have opportunities to score in the red zone against Jacksonville, you better score.
And that is a fair point to be made about Josh Dobbs' performance against the Cowboys mm-hmm. is, hey, we all feel excited about it. We feel good about it because it's better than the alternative. Mm-hmm. Because Josh Dobbs is a clearer path to winning than Malik Willis. But again, it was 13 points offensively. But adding in Derrick Henry, I think adds a completely different element to this offense. And we say that about Josh Dobbs, mm-hmm. right? Josh Dobbs over Malik Willis adds another layer offensively that Malik Willis can't deliver, mm-hmm. at least yet. Will he ever be able to deliver that?
We don't know.
I don't know.
It looks slim. It looks bleak.
But you bring Derrick Henry into the mix. It allows you one a massive weapon in the run game, mm-hmm. and allows you to move down the field and gives another element on top of the passing offense that Josh Dobbs can bring you. It brings in another element of defenders are going to have to take care of Derrick Henry. So you're going to have a stacked box, which allows Josh Dobbs to be able to make more plays in the passing game, mm-hmm. or you can just run it with Derrick Henry. So you're going to have to score points. This is a Jacksonville team that can score points. But with Josh Dobbs and with Derrick Henry, that added element, I think that's another element that you can do too. But what does Josh Dobbs do best? TD breaks it down.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mentioned that hash to sideline throw. I remember watching that, and I double-checked again. I was like, wait a minute, that was opposite hash, right? And like, I went back and watched it again real quick just to make sure. That throw really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. I thought the throw to Treylon Burks late in the first half, the one where he tight-roped the sideline, I thought that was a good throw. The Racy McMath one, you know, was a decent throw. So he made some good throws there. I like the way he just seemed to know exactly where he wanted to go with the football. The touchdown to Robert Woods, he gave that thing time to clear out. Very nice play design by Todd Downing. He gave it time to clear out, and Woods, you know, ran his route, and he was able to sit right there, and Dobbs hit him. And I think those are the things, right, knowing where you want to go with the football. That's very important, and just keeping things on schedule. And that's what he did. Now, as far as some areas for improvement, I think, you know, one of the biggest ones was, you know, the sacks that he took.
So there you go. I think TD hit on something that you mentioned, mm-hmm. D-Mays, and I was fine with the play calling from Todd Downing against the Cowboys. And and TD mentions it, is plays that were designed for Josh Dobbs. Mm-hmm. And it was nicely...
Bless you.
It went away. It went away. It was nicely designed plays for Josh Dobbs. Uh-huh. And I think that TD makes a very good point of confidence. Mm-hmm. That we talk about the passing ability that Josh Dobbs brings that Malik Willis has yet to bring to this offense. And it's the confidence to be able to throw highly contested balls, to be able to throw in tight windows. Josh Dobbs has the confidence to do that and to get the ball out quick enough. But I do wonder about some of the decision-making, because there were throws that I saw against the Cowboys that I was like, probably shouldn't have thrown that ball. And you're going to get that. That's going to come whenever you are, in one, your first career start, and two, getting acclimated into an offense and getting acclimated to your pass catchers. But the decision-making, I think, is a fair point brought up by TD.
Yeah, I think in those situations, you hope it doesn't continue. But, you know, when the quarterback is in that rhythm and he's feeling it, he wants to give guys opportunities to catch the football. And, you know, him throwing it in tight spaces, or him throwing it sometimes, or, you know, a few times where he shouldn't have, that's him, you know, sort of being in the zone once, like he feels like, okay, everything is going, I'm good. But then also, I got the arm strength to get it in, and I believe in the pass catcher that I'm throwing it to. But sometimes you just got to, you know, throw it away and get back in the huddle and you know, kind of regroup your troops and go out for the next play. The one play to Woods that TD brought up quickly before we go to break, he did a wonderful job, a masterful job, Dobbs. And this is something that Malik Willis is not doing. Mm-hmm. When Dobbs got the ball, he scanned to the right side of the field quickly, and then he scanned to the left. He allowed the play to develop. You know, it was sort of a pick route. They ran into each other Woods, found an open space, but he allowed it to develop and it hit him. I don't think Willis would have allowed it to develop. He would have saw it, saw he was covered, Panic. got jittery, and made an errant pass. They need Joshua Dobbs to continue doing stuff like that.
615-737-1025. Back into your phones coming up next. We all know this game against Jacksonville has massive playoff implications, but what does this game mean for another decision the Titans have to make a little bit further down the line? We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Malik Willis in multiple starts this year, not great passing, at times flashes of physical ability in the run game, but not good enough. Any time that Josh Dobbs can walk through the door, start his first NFL career game, throw his first NFL career touchdown pass, and create even a debate between himself and the guy who was the betting favorite to be the first quarterback taken in the draft, that tells you that the head coach of the team isn't a believer in the young guy and is basically willing to take a chance on anyone with a pulse who can come in and move the offense even at a marginal level.
There you go. That was Mike Florio. I know what he thinks is that Mike Vrabel just simply doesn't believe in Malik Willis, that move to start Josh Dobbs, to bring in Josh Dobbs and to start Josh Dobbs against the Cowboys, and the fact that Josh Dobbs played a good enough game to be able to make you feel confident about him being the starting quarterback moving forward, that's the message from Mike Vrabel, that he doesn't believe in Malik Willis. And I approach this game, at least as Josh Dobbs is concerned, that this is his tryout. This is his game for his future job, whether that's in Tennessee or whether it's not. But I also think that this game also has a lot of implications on the quarterback position next year. So, you know, what does this game mean for Josh Dobbs? If Josh Dobbs can go out and play well and do enough for this Titans team to beat the Jags, I think that that's either, you know, an indication that he could come in and be the backup next year, or there's another one of the 31 other GMs across the league that'll look at Josh Dobbs and say, hey, he could be pretty good, that he can come in on, you know, 2 weeks' notice and be able to win a must-win game for the Tennessee Titans. But what does that mean for Malik Willis moving forward? What does that mean for his involvement in this offense moving forward? If Josh Dobbs can go out and prove, hey, I can come in, I can be the backup, is there a place for Malik Willis on this team?
Well, there's still a place for him. They can carry three quarterbacks, and whether they put him on, you know, the practice squad or not, they can then try to develop him as a quarterback, but as we sit now, this is Joshua Dobbs' team, and it is an audition for everybody else, because he can show that, hey, listen, I'm a capable or more than capable backup quarterback, and in some situations, I can come in and be a starter as well. Malik's not there yet. Does it mean that I believe they're going away from Malik? Unless something was said to Peter King, I don't think they've totally given up on Malik after a year. Unless something was said to him that made him then turn around and sort of word it that way in a sense. Or, you know, if this was a John Robinson's pick, and now John's gone, and Vrabel's like, listen, I didn't want to draft him. You know, let me bring somebody else in, and, you know, if the kid doesn't improve, then we're going to go in a different direction. So, you know, you can see it both ways. But for me, I don't think they completely given up on him. I think they said they cannot win with him today.
I think that's clear.
Yeah, he doesn't give them the best opportunity to win and get in playoffs today. it can be a different story next year, something. Well, this year, later this year, when the season gets going again, it could be a different story. I don't know. That's all up to Malik and how his development goes in the offseason. But I think right now, this is Joshua Dobbs' team, and they are hoping that, you know, he can improve on some things that he did last week, that he's more comfortable with the offense, that Downey's more comfortable with him, and that they can expand the offense a little bit more now that they have Derrick Henry in the backfield.
And I think, too, to your point about whose decision it was to draft Malik, at a certain point, I do think that's kind of a moot point. You know, if it was, let's say it was Vrabel's decision to come in or to draft Malik Willis, well, then, you know, then he can make that evaluation of Malik Willis moving forward. If it was John Robinson's decision to draft Malik Willis, if he was coming along very well, if he was showing flashes of what he can be moving forward, if he could prove that, hey, I'm not a starting quarterback right now, but I can come in and do things that you ask of me to do, and I can improve week over week over week, it wouldn't really matter whose decision it was to draft him, because Mike Vrabel would have no choice but to say, okay, we believe in what he's doing in his improvement, and we think that he can just build upon it even more, even more, even more.
But yeah, but if you draft a guy, like if you personally went out and drafted
you have more
him,
like real estate
you have more
in
invested
the...
in him. So it's like, I want to see this kid, you know, get better. I want him to at least be our backup. He may not be a starter, but the most one of the most important jobs, or I say the most important job, is to be the backup quarterback.
Right.
Because you may not get a chance ever to play during the season unless that one chance comes where the quarterback gets hurt and you got to come in. You need to be ready. You know, you got to be ready. Even if you are a rookie, you got to be ready to step into that role. Mm-hmm. So maybe Vrabel, if this is my guy, then I think, one, we put him in a situation that is not beneficial to him.
Right.
The kid was learning, you know, he was learning some things. He was getting better on the practice field. So I wanted to draft him, so I'm going to give him a little bit more leeway in regards to, you know, when should I cut the cord or when shouldn't I? I'm going to let the kid develop because I wanted him, or we wanted him, and I was really high on him. So I'm going to let him develop, bring Joshua Dobbs in. Joshua Dobbs proves he's a backup, and then go from there.
That is a wrap on the very first edition
yes.
of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. It's going to be a blast. Thank you, D-Mace. Thank you, Willie, for making the first show such a breeze, such a fun one.
CWD.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Josh Dobbs officially named the starter against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Saturday. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.